and welcome back to Vocation Station on Divine Mercy Radio. It's good to be with you. Once again, this is Father Alfredo Hernandez. I'm the Rector President at St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary in Boynton Beach, Florida. And many blessings to you as we continue through this year as Thanksgiving approaches. It is good to be with you today with one of our seminarians who's doing what we call pastoral year, an experience in a parish for most of, basically the whole of an academic year. And his name is Michael Pedersen. Michael, it is great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Father. Thank you for having me on the show.
So Michael, you grew up actually in the Treasure Coast, and you are a seminarian for the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee. And we'll kind of get into your story, how the Lord called you to priesthood. Maybe just a little bit about growing up in the faith in Vero Beach.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was born and raised in Vero Beach. Had a great Catholic family upbringing, two wonderful parents and a younger sister. And in Vero Beach, there was one Catholic school there, St. Helen Catholic School, where I attended all the way from kindergarten through eighth grade. I was baptized there, first confession, first Holy Communion, and confirmed by Bishop Arborito there. It was a place where so much formation, so much joy really occurred, not only in my life, but in the life of my family and friends. And I remember when I was in early grade school, maybe 7 years old, that was the first thought about becoming a priest. And at St. Helen, when you're at a school attached to a parish, you also get called out for Mass. And we had a lot of funerals at St. Helen growing up. And I was close with the school secretary. And over the course of my time in middle school, I had altar served over 70 funerals from fifth grade through eighth grade. And what that did for me was it completely opened up the liturgy. It made me appreciate the Mass in a really new and intimate way, and it actually fostered a deeper connection with not only those who were suffering the loss of a loved one, but even to pray for the dead, to pray for loved ones who've gone before me. So I loved my faith growing up. I was super passionate and loved altar serving. And when I went to high school, though, I wasn't thinking about becoming a priest. In fact, in Vero Beach, it wasn't the norm to discern a vocation of the priesthood. I had always assumed I would just go to college, get a good job, and get married and have a family. And played a lot of sports over at John Carroll Catholic High School. And both St. Helen and John Carroll were very instrumental in my Christian formation. Not only the Catholic education, but having good mentors in my life, people that I looked up to, not only within my family, but outside of my family, who showed me what it is like to follow Jesus Christ, what's it like to be a man, what's it like to be a man of faith. And so I finished my time in high school. I was wide-eyed and excited to go to college, and I was accepted over at Florida State University in Tallahassee. And so I spent 4 years there at Florida State. I got my degree in media communication, where I did a lot of sports broadcasting. I worked for the New York Mets organization as a radio broadcaster for their single-A team in Port St. Lucie, and I worked for various things around campus with Florida State media, whether it was the radio station or covering different sporting events and things like that. But more importantly, when I got to Florida State, I was on a search for meaning and sort of purpose.
So just to pause before you go there, so kind of what we're doing on the radio, this is not something new for you.
That's right, yeah. So I have a great love for radio, great love for this medium, and it was something that kind of came natural to me. In fact, growing up in Vero Beach with the Dodgers here, they had spring training in my hometown, and I was always close with Rick Monday, who still does the Dodgers sports radio broadcasting for them, and Vin Scully was the legendary broadcaster for them. So having that in my hometown was always big in terms of what I wanted to do in the future. And now it's very ironic because now I'm here, what I once aspired to be, to broadcast sports, and now in this vocation to be able to broadcast the gospel in a new way, to bring the light of Christ all over the world.
That's beautiful. One of your teachers at St. Helens, in fact, is very involved with Divine Mercy Radio and donated the equipment that we use for recording here at the seminary, Mrs. Carolyn Dean. Mm-hmm. So it's a little shout out to Carolyn. And yeah, so I interrupted, but I thought that little detour might be interesting to our listeners.
Definitely.
So you said you were searching for meaning when you got to Florida.
Absolutely.
State.
And I think I had placed so much of my identity in high school and at that age in what I did and social status or the sports that I played. And so when all of those things were removed and you're placed in a new environment, making new friends, deeper questions occur. But I never stopped going to Sunday Mass. That was something that was always drilled into me by my parents. And that was when I first got to Tallahassee, that was the one taste of home that I had, was going to Mass every Sunday. And life might have been tumultuous or it might have been a good week, but to remain faithful to going to Mass, I credit my family with. I was searching for meaning and purpose, and ultimately I found I was dissatisfied still, and I hadn't felt like I had gone all in with my faith. And I was at a point where I said, why not? Why not go all in and see what happens? And so I did. I met some great friends over at Florida State University. They have a Catholic Student Union there. It's one of the largest student organizations on campus, over 400 people. And they were great models of Christian discipleship, of following Jesus, of living a virtuous life. And I started getting involved with those events over there. I started going to daily Mass and committing to a life of prayer, personal prayer. And although trials and sufferings are a part of life, I was able to bear those things and to live the Christian life with a certain joy that I hadn't experienced and a freedom that was so powerful. And so from there, I came home on fire with my faith to my parents, and I told them I was open to discerning a vocation, and they were a little surprised by that. And they said, you know, you could just be a deacon. and I'm like, yes, but I think the Lord is desiring me to discern a vocation to the priesthood and at least give it a try, or to see where he's leading me. And through a lot of prayer and discernment throughout my time in college, it was made clear with a lot of clarity, peace, and joy that the Lord desired me to enter seminary. And I really kind of discovered my vocation while I was up in Tallahassee. That was where I had placed my roots. And I'd gotten to see so much of the panhandle, gotten to know so many priests and families there. So it went from what is God calling me to, whether it was priesthood or married life. And once that kind of was settled, the next question was, where are you calling me, Lord? So when I'm asked, you know, why am I not in the diocese, my home diocese, it simply boils down to it's where the Spirit was leading me. And so I'm in seminary now. This is my fifth year. I've done 2 years in Covington, Louisiana, and 2 years here at St. Vincent de Paul. And now I'm on my pastoral year here in Pensacola.
Well, that is great. And you're assigned to the cathedral, right?
That's right. The Cathedral of the Sacred Heart in the heart of Pensacola, East Hill, we call it. And there is a pre-K through 8 school attached right across the street, and we're actually celebrating our 50th anniversary as a cathedral this year.
Yep. And obviously that's because there's the 50th anniversary of the diocese. Mm-hmm. So that's the Diocese of Pensacola Tallahassee was the the fifth of the 7 Florida dioceses to be created back in 1975. And the pastoral year, just a little bit of information for our listeners, the pastoral year, not all seminaries have that as a regular requirement, but we've had it here at our seminary for almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And it's developed over time, but it's really, we've seen it as there's a wonderful time between the second and third year of theology to have men really get a chance to experience the range of different activities and emotions that you experience in seminary life, sorry, in rectory life and parish life, the beauty and the challenges and what it's like to live in a rectory, whether it's a rectory with three or four priests, which there are very few left like that, or a rectory with just one. And there are obviously there are many different ways that that works out. I sometimes joke that we sometimes use the image that the priest is representing Christ as bridegroom, and if we follow that image, we never would say for a couple that's engaged that they should live together before they're married. This is a case where it's a good idea to live together, to have the experience of seeing what life in a rector is really like. That's at least part of our logic, and it's been very fruitful, a lot of guys. So how's the experience? I want to give that sort of overview. How's that been for you, Michael?
It's been incredible. One thing that people ask me in the parish when I explain to them that I'll be there for a whole year, they're excited about it. And they ask often, why do they put you in a parish for a year? And I tell them, if I'm studying to be a parish priest, then I should really get to know what life in a parish is like. And there's no immersion like being placed in a parish for anywhere from 8 months to a year. So I am at the Cathedral of the Sacred Heart there in Pensacola. I was in residency starting on Memorial Day this past summer, but I had spent the majority of my time at a hospital, serving as a hospital chaplain in Pensacola. And that was an incredible blessing to be there for those who were suffering, not only just the patients, but medical staff and workers, for family members who were going through incredible trauma. But I've been full-time at the cathedral and the school right across the street since September 1st. And it's been such a blessing to share and really get a taste of what the life of a priest is like. Because seminary, while I love it, there's nothing like the life of a busy parish. And seminary prepares me and has prepared me in a way to where I feel like I was able to hit the ground running by the time I was assigned at the cathedral. I was equipped to do what a priest does. And so it's been amazing to live with two other priests. We live a block or two away from the church, a short walk, and we have an early morning mass, and I'm very much involved at the school across the street. A lot of outreach and evangelization, service to the poor and the homebound, to a lot of members of our military in Pensacola. Young and old, young adults, teaching faith formation also. So it's diocesan priesthood is like a Swiss Army knife. You got to be prepared for just about anything.
And you have to make sure that all the implements are sharpened, because you don't know when you're going to have to use them.
Absolutely.
how many times has your day been planned and something came in as a total surprise?
I've been learning to appreciate Google Calendar and, having a certain understanding or structure of my day. But, oh my gosh, the amount of emergencies you run into, or the way people lean on you, even as someone who's not even a priest yet, but the trust that people have has been incredible. And so that's kind of the joy of the diocesan priesthood. It's not a normal 9-to-5 sort of desk job, but I've had so much flexibility to not only serve people at the church, but to go out and meet them and to try and be Christ for them. So the days are not, like I said, your traditional work days and work hours, but it's the most fulfilling, you know, thing I've been able to do in my life.
That's great to hear you say. And that's, I sometimes say that I can count on one hand the number of times I've been bored in 33 and a half years of priesthood. And I might have gotten to the sixth finger, I'm not sure, but it's there's just so much beautiful variety and the importance of that being with people. And as St. Paul says, laugh with those who laugh, weep with those who weep, and that being able to be all things to all people is so important. And you've mentioned a couple of times the beauty of being able to bring Christ to others. I know that desire for evangelization is something that's deep in your heart. Maybe a little bit about, share a little bit about what that feeling of wanting to share the gospel is like, and maybe opportunities you've had even in the pastor your assignment to do so.
Absolutely. I think the fire and love for sharing the gospel, first of all, starts with the personal encounter that I've had with Jesus Christ and the love that I've experienced and the mercy that I've experienced from God. And when you encounter such a profound, life-giving love, you just want to give it back, not only to the Lord, but to share that love with others. And so that's been the great joy of my life, is to proclaim the gospel and to have a message of hope. And so that really took off at Florida State University, where I'm at a campus of over 40,000 people, and to be able to evangelize there, to be able to meet up with people, to lead a men's group on a weekly basis of over 100 guys, to do all these different things, whether it was planned retreats or simply just hanging out and talking about life and sharing the gospel and meeting people where they're at. That laid such a foundation for me and a fire to enter into seminary and grow deeper, not only in my faith, but to study the riches of our church and our tradition, to, instead of just being an evangelist, to accept that role of a vocation to the priesthood and the great weight that that is of bringing Christ in the priestly witness, this witness of love that gives without expecting anything in return. And it's ultimately a sign of the Father's love. That was so appealing to me. And so this year, to be able to do that has been fun. One example, like I had mentioned earlier, is with our military folks. A ton of people flock to our Sunday masses. They come to us. Oftentimes, we think of evangelization as going out.
Right.
Well, oftentimes, like in the gospel, when we put out into the deep and we catch the big net of fish, you want to keep the fish in the boat. And it's been amazing to connect with so many of our service members across different branches who are young and on fire with their faith, searching for community, whether they're single or they're married and have a family. It's been amazing to take time out of my day to meet with them, to answer questions, and to even lead people into OCIA who, for example, there's a guy in the Marine Corps, him and his wife, they have one child and another on the way, and they're going to be entering into the church this Easter season.
The whole family?
Yes. So
oh,
it's
wow.
Incredible.
That's really beautiful. And to see the fruitfulness of ministry. And I think that's one of the benefits. It's funny, with the pastor year, there are pluses and minuses with anything. One of the benefits is you begin to see the fruitfulness of ministry and be able to rejoice in it. One of the downsides can be, gee, I need to come back to seminary. and so we're doing this interview while you're here for a couple of days for a workshop, and then you'll go back and with one more return to us, be there until next summer. But then eventually you're gonna have to come back. One thing that I mentioned to you and your classmates yesterday is it's good to kind of be thinking about what are things that, as you've been working with people and been doing the evangelization and working in the parish, what are the things that you're learning that you need to learn. Mm. That you say, you know, I'm going to go back to seminary with more drive because this is a particular area I need to get stronger in.
I think in the areas of administration, I recognize the gifts I have of connecting with people and the evangelization, like I've talked about, and different kinds of ministry. But the priest at a parish really sets the tone for the culture of that parish, and everything really flows from him. So I envision my time right now back here at this workshop, and when I return to seminary for the remainder of my time, as clay in the hands of a potter, first of all, in the hands of our Lord, or like a marble slab just being chipped away into this beautiful sculpture. And this kind of molding that's going on isn't always, you know, the most pain-free thing, admittedly, but nonetheless, the Lord loves me in the midst of that, and it's through that discipline, both with the seminary or just in my own spiritual life, that I know it's going to bear greater fruit. So I'm excited to grow in areas of administration so where I can lay a good foundation, a good culture at my parish, that things can be running smoothly, that I can equip people well and delegate, because there's so many people who want to serve, so many people who want to give of themselves to their home parish, which, you know, they've been there longer than I have, and they will outlast me. So I am ultimately a steward of what has been entrusted to me. And the people of God, this is the way I understand seminary, the people of God deserve the absolute best, and that includes my best. So I work so hard in the seminary, I work so hard in the parish, because the people deserve it, and because there are people who are, even poor people, who are helping fund my education to be a priest, and those people deserve the very best to receive that formation ultimately when I become a priest.
That's great. You, and in terms of that sense that the parish belongs, is the people's parish, and that you're there to serve them, it reminds me, I was pastor, as you know, I was pastor of my home parish for 14 years, St. Juliana in West Palm Beach, although my first assignment was at your parish, your home parish,
that's right,
St. Helens in Vero Beach. But I was pastor at St. Juliana's for 14 years, and my parents were still living when I got there. My mom was living the whole time I was there. Mm. And she said to me more than once, she said, "I don't go to your church. Mm. You're my pastor." And just, she was very, and if my mom would say that to me, I think it's important. Hey, that's sometimes I think that's good for our listeners to hear in terms of parish life. There are always going to be times when you like one priest more than another, or you connect with his homilies more, his liturgical style more. Remember, it's your parish. Mm. And it's, I think that's that sense of belonging is, we sometimes lose that in our society, and there can be almost a sense sometimes of the parish as almost like a club. I choose to join it or not. Mm. And yeah, there's freedom, but I just encourage you to have that sense of belonging, is how important that is in terms of being the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ. Mm. I digressed a little bit, but your comment certainly brought that to mind. And
one thing too, especially at the parish I'm at, it's young and it's thriving right now to the point where we are having so many baptisms that we're baptizing kids at a faster rate than we can even hold them at our school. And our school has two different classes for each grade. And
this is Pensacola.
Pensacola.
For those of you who think Pensacola is the far away in a little town, that's great to hear.
Yeah, and our masses on Sundays, especially our 9:31, is just absolutely filled with young families, young children, and the community that's there that stays after the mass and talks. And so I'm really interested also in, when I come back to the seminary, growing in marriage preparation, And walking with couples, not only in marriage preparation, but I'm interested too in enriching a marriage, not only just getting off the runway, but to have a fruitful, life-giving marriage that's both like this, that's unitive.
And that's the work with working with families, supporting couples, as you know, I think you pretty much aware of some of the work of your pastor at St. Helens, Father DeGance, just how important it is to work with couples. If we succeed at helping couples get married in church, stay married, raise their children in the faith, if we can accomplish that, almost all the other major problems in the church would sort of fall like a row of dominoes. Mm. And there's some pretty good research that indicates that. So that work is so important. If we can get them at the beginning and help them to remain living the faith, that's just so important. And maybe have there been some things that have been particular challenges that you're able to share?
Maybe
how God's grace has helped you in them.
Sure. The highs of this life are the highs of this priestly journey are higher than I could have ever imagined, and the lows and the sufferings are also greater than I could have ever imagined. And in a particular way, it's kind of rooted in a spiritual sense, but also with the people of God, that in a personal way, the Lord has invited me to share in his suffering. And not only that's something all of us are called to, but in a personal way, to be asked, can you suffer for my people? Can you suffer out of the love that I have for them? And to share in that suffering has been hard, but it's been so life-giving. We talk about in the Gospel of John that grain of wheat, which falls and dies, but it bears so much fruit. And we don't really talk too much about the sufferings that people go through on a daily basis. But when you're in a parish, when I'm in this parish, and I get to know people over time, everyone is carrying a cross, and everyone is struggling in some kind of way, and it's hard. It's hard to try to be strong for people, but ultimately, I am not someone's salvation, but I'm always trying to point them to Jesus Christ, who is our one true salvation. And the beauty of the Christian life, the beauty of being Catholic, is suffering isn't just some kind of condemnation or punishment, but that it's actually the way to eternal life, and that the Christian life is a journey from death to life.
And as we read in St. Paul, I make up in my own body what is lacking in the cross of Christ. And that very striking comment, which really is at the basis of all of our theology of what it means to share in, to participate in Jesus's salvific work, and to be able to see that in that pot, that it's a gift to us, to use the expression that we don't hear as much today as we might have in the past, but to offer it up, to be able to, whether it's I have a stub toe or I'm dying of cancer, to be able to join that to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to his sufferings on the cross. And that somehow, in God's mysterious plan, that can be a part of saving, part of how Jesus saves the world, and to be able to do that with love. And that's, I think, that's an invitation for all of us, and certainly for those called to the priesthood. That's huge. Our whole lives are called, and when we celebrate the Eucharist, we're uniting ourselves to Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. For the salvation of the world. Michael, it has been great talking to you, and he's very proud to see how you're growing through this pastoral year, and look forward to seeing more great things from you. To all of you, we're recording this Thanksgiving month. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and see you next month on Vocation Station. Please pray for us. We'll pray for you. God bless you all.
Thank you so much.